Read and hear more about important news and policy issues at ncpolicywatch.com. This is News and Views.
Welcome to News and Views. I'm your host, Rob Schofield. The subject of Medicaid expansion under the Affordable Care Act has long been one of the nation's most contentious issues, despite the opportunity that expansion would provide to cover nearly 500,000 uninsured people and save thousands of lives per year. North Carolina remains one of a minority of states that refuses to pursue this option. One of the explanations that opponents of expansion regularly trot out is cost and their fear that the federal government may not fulfill its pledge of covering 90% of the administrative costs of expansion. According to a new report from Mark Hall, a law and public health professor at Wake Forest University, however, this argument simply doesn't hold water. Hall's report says that most of the states that have expanded have no regrets. Well, Professor Mark Hall, welcome to News and Views. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
So tell us a little bit about the health law and policy program at Wake Forest that you're spearheading.
Yeah, that's a program that was initiated by one of our alums who works in the health care industry and thought that it would be good to bring resources to bear that would really help illuminate health policy issues both nationally and in North Carolina.
You've obviously closely followed the issue of Medicaid expansion under the Affordable Care Act as it's sort of been spread across the country or avoided certain parts of the country. Can you remind our listeners sort of where things stand, maybe what states have acted, what states have not acted on Medicaid expansion?
As a reminder, the idea is that the Affordable Care Act pays most of the costs for states to expand their Medicaid program, which is the program that covers health insurance for the poor, to cover all the poor or everyone up to one-third above the poverty level, instead of just covering categories of the poor, such as people who are disabled or pregnant or children. And to date, I think we're up to 33 states have agreed to take that federal funding. There's some matching state money, but it's basically only 10 cents on the dollar that the states need to put up. But there's still on the order of, I guess, 18 states that have not expanded.
Right. We should say that I think it's safe to say that when the Affordable Care Act was first passed, it was just sort of assumed that this would be a no-brainer, that basically all states would do this. And it may have caught some of the original authors of the law off guard that eventually so many states have declined all this federal funding to help insure people in their states.
That's true. I mean, two things happened. First, the Supreme Court ruled somewhat unexpectedly that states can't be required to expand, and so they had the option of whether to take the expansion money or not and still keep their existing program in place. And so that was a constitutional ruling. And following that, there was a lot of opposition to expansion in more conservative states, I think basically out of either political or ideological opposition to the Affordable Care Act as a whole, basically not wanting to take any of that, you know, Obamacare money. And so that was, I think, sort of part of the initial impetus, but also some legitimate public policy concerns about whether or not expansion is a good idea.
One of the big critiques has been, especially here in North Carolina from some of our political leaders in the General Assembly, is we don't want to head down this road. This is going to cost the state all kinds of money. It's not clear whether, in fact, the feds are going to keep providing the funding for this, and in the end, the state will be left holding the bag. But you've done a new report that maybe indicates that hasn't been the case so far.
Right. So I think at the outset of a new program, there's reason to be cautious, to not jump on board too early, to stand back and see how it works, and then evaluate that and make an informed decision. So I do think it's a good time now to look at that track record. First of all, to the extent opposition was based on, you know, politics, we have a new administration. There was a thought for a while that maybe the Affordable Care Act would be repealed, but it's not going to be repealed. So we know that Medicaid expansion will remain on the books. It will be administered by the Trump administration, which includes more flexibility for states and perhaps some added elements that will help control some of the costs. So I do think it's a good time to reflect and reexamine some of these prior positions.
So your new brief that you've issued just last month was entitled, Do States Regret Expanding Medicaid? And what'd you find?
Basically, no. That one sign of whether this was a mistake or not is to look to see to some of the expanding states that maybe were on the fence, maybe expanding states, you know, where voters ended up voting for President Trump, so more red or purple complexion states, instead of the standard left-leaning states on the coast, the sort of mid-country states, to see what happened. And across the board, I mean, these are states like Kentucky, West Virginia, Arkansas, Indiana, don't regret having expanded. And when I say that, I mean that the leaders, the legislative leaders, Republican leaders who supported expansion haven't changed their minds. The states had a number of provisions that would allow them to back out if things didn't work as expected, either sunset provisions or what are called legislative triggers. If it ends up costing too much, we can pull the plug on this, and none of these states have felt the need to do that. And instead, Republican governors in a number of expansion states came forward during the debate over repealing, replacing the Affordable Care Act, saying, you know, please don't take expansion away. We've really benefited from it, and we want to keep expansion in place. Whatever you do to the Affordable Care Act, that's the part we want, one of the parts we want to keep. And again, those voices came from the ranks of Republican governors. So to me, that's a pretty clear signal that things will work out more or less as expected if there's not some hidden trap out there.
So the bottom line in states like, as you've mentioned, Ohio, Michigan, Indiana, where Vice President Pence hails from, they've actually, I think your report says, actually reduced, not increased state spending as a result of expansion. And they've got hundreds of thousands of people who now have health insurance who didn't have it before.
That's right. So one of the big debates is over what the actual costs are, and I can review that debate for you. So part of the opposition to expansion came from the fact that when expansion was implemented in a lot of states, there was a lot more enrollment than we first expected. And, of course, many people would cheer that as saying, well, gosh, this is working even better than we hoped, and the whole purpose of the law was to cover uninsured people. But if you're a budget hawk, which you certainly need to be, the concern would be, well, if your enrollment numbers are a lot higher than expected, your costs are going to be a lot higher. And that was true for the first couple of years, but the point is, all those costs were paid by the federal government, and in a way that didn't drive up taxes because the costs were already sort of built into the revenue streams that were part of the Affordable Care Act. So it didn't actually cost the states more. It cost the federal government somewhat more. But over time, some of those costs started to abate, and the initial sort of pent-up demand for services was kind of met. There was kind of a what's called a welcome mat effect. People who were already eligible signed up because they heard about this, and that sort of previously eligible group was enrolled, and so some of that extra enrollment sort of leveled off. And so over time, things kind of hit more of a steady state, and that's what we saw now after the course of 5 years, and that's a bit of a different picture than what we saw at the first 2 years.
So no particular regrets from the states that have expanded. It's generally worked pretty well for them. North Carolina, though, of course, is one of those handful of states, maybe third of states in the country that have still not expanded. What would happen if we did it here? Is it your sense that there's a growing pressure as a result of what we're seeing in other states that we might actually head down this road?
Yeah, we sort of gradually seen some of the reluctant states now taking this up. Voters in Maine approved Medicaid expansion at the ballot box in a referendum, and there the governor is deliberating over how and when to implement expansion. In Virginia, there's a legislative debate right now that it looks like it's leaning towards adopting expansion. And one of the things that's leading this is, again, there's now more flexibility in the states to add elements that are geared more towards personal responsibility. So, for instance, Indiana sort of piloted a provision that requires people on Medicaid to contribute towards some of their costs, either through premiums or through copayment sliding scale amounts that they might be able to afford. And that's a type of provision now that I think adding these individual responsibility provisions is something that I think should help create a middle ground that makes it appear to be an innovative program that can bring together both sides of the debate.
We know we've had some Republican lawmakers, indeed, here in North Carolina, have now at least introduced legislation that would begin to head down this road. And so maybe we're actually starting to see some cracks in the opposition here in North Carolina to the concept.
It's hard for me to read those tea leaves, but certainly the pieces are in place. The other thing that's happened is that previously Governor McCrory said we shouldn't expand Medicaid until we first reform it, but we have our reform plan in place that we're expecting approval of that very soon from the federal government, and then plans are underway to implement the Medicaid reform, which would convert it to more of a managed care, private contracting approach. And so with that well underway, again, that lays the groundwork that we previously didn't have.
Well, we know it certainly remains a very important issue in North Carolina. We're very appreciative that folks like you are paying close attention and keeping the debate informed. We wish you good luck. Please keep doing so, and we'll talk to you again soon about this, hopefully about some further progress in North Carolina headed down this road.
All right, Rob. Thanks for talking with me about this. Bye-bye.
Up next, a new report from one of North Carolina's most important think tanks looks back on 50 years of progress and setbacks in the American South. Stay with us.